Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Covered. Thank you, precious Father, for the greater things that you will do. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's begin from Revelation 22, verse 17, because of the theme of the conference. I'm happy for the line of speakers that we have for the conference, because there are topics that you want to consider, and you know that it's a journey of depths. Our world is being recolonized by alien spirits that are not part of the civilizations of heaven. And so when a convergence, a holy summon like this is demanded of God, is because a new generation must emerge that are not using the tools of corruption. You know, the Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 80, he said he was in the wilderness until the time of his showing forth. When a spirit wants to build, the patterns must be kept. And the patterns that a spirit has are not the type you study and receive from Harvard. No matter how vast and experienced you are oblivious as touching the specificity, the specifics that a spirit requires when he wants to establish an institution and when he wants to build a civilization. And so every time a spirit wants to build again, there is a need for a summon. So we come to examine the patterns. Because if we don't know the patterns, when we are done building, what we have will be Babel. It will not be Zion. And when you are done building, what you build is not for yourself. Men are actually laborers of spirits. Because every time a man is done building, it's a spirit that rests on it. And that's why you must find the patterns. And so when God, the Spirit, is calling, is beckoning, is summoning, it's a journey of depth. And if we don't arrive at the destination that the Spirit has in mind, we will not look upon the sacred things that He wants to reveal. And when we come back, we'll be deficient with tools to build. And so the whole generation might be lost. One of the scary things I discovered when I started studying about church history was the fact that a whole generation can be wiped out, and it doesn't affect God nor His agenda. Because between Malachi and the rise of John in the wilderness were 400 years. No matter how you want to calculate a generation, at least four generations were lost. And it didn't affect God's agenda, because He's called the Ancient of Days. And so it is possible for a generation to be wiped off because they don't discern the patterns. And if you don't find it, you cannot build. You build because you have the pattern, not because you are zealous. Not because you feel you are ready. You build because patterns have been revealed to you. And so in Revelation 22 from verse 17, there's a holy summon. I'm trying to begin my journey from the team so that I don't get lost. He said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. There are certain scriptures that are scary, but it will only scare you if you understand the weight. And so before I touch this scripture, maybe we should begin from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. You know, when the Spirit calls you, you may not know how far you will journey, because you don't even know where the Spirit dwells. There are few men that were given the opportunity in scripture to travel to the beginning. And so when you start interacting with men, you will find their depth based on where they talk from. Because the depth you speak from is what determines your rank in the Spirit. You don't have rank in the Spirit because you are intelligent. You don't even have rank in the Spirit because your exegesis is correct. If your exegesis is correct, you are a discipler. But when you want to bet the things of the Spirit, you will need to journey to the depths where the Spirit dwells. Because you are as ancient as how deep you travel. And so when you study the Bible, there are three depths that was revealed to humankind as touching the dwellings of God. The shallow, the most shallow of them all, was what Moses gave in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was the first time a man was permitted to journey beyond time. The first time a man traveled outside of the spectrum of time to be given the opportunity to look at the civilization of spirit. How do these beings operate? Because you may have been trained by Facebook, by YouTube, or by BBC, CNN. You will begin to attempt to judge spirit civilization from human civilization. You will be wrong 1,000 times. And so the men that God gave the power to teach mortals how to live their lives, what he did was that he drew them out of time back to the foundation of reality. And so when Moses spoke, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first man that traveled deep enough to bring us words and information that existed before time. Now, if Moses had the liberty to speak, maybe one of the things he would have told you is how the world that exists beyond 3D looks like. Because we can't think outside of 3D. You can only think three dimensions because that's what the visible realm is. But there was somebody that looked where God stood before he started creating even the spirit realm. And so when that kind of person wants to talk to you about God, you may need to have a meeting beyond the stars. But in order to help us, he crystallized it and he left it. He said God created the heavens and the earth. He left it. He didn't talk about the heavens. He now began to talk about recreation. He said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so that was what Moses brought to us. And then there was another man that also told us about the beginning. His name was John. He said, that which was from the beginning, which our eyes have seen, we heard, our eyes saw, and he said, we looked upon, and our hands handled. Now, in this case, he's trying to show you how the material world crystallized from the supernatural world. So, first of all, it was in the beginning. Then it came from the beginning. You heard it. You saw it. You now handled it. So, what you are touching here is a crystallization of a reality that once upon a time was intangible. And so, there is a technology and a protocol that governs how spiritual things crystallize, how they become tangible from intangible. All of that is secluded it. He just told us that we handled. Because there are certain things you don't discuss among people. If you want to see it, you too will be someone. I'm trying to tell you why he said come. Because there are some things that we won't teach. You know, when John heard the voice of the seven thunders, he wanted to write. He said, no, this one is not a message. This one is for those who are summoned. Not everything is taught. So Moses didn't tell you what the heavens look like. John didn't tell you how immateriality was crystallized to materiality. Those ones, it is those who are summoned that are permitted to look upon it. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, Paul was the one who traveled the deepest. No wonder he said, I'm a wise master builder. No wonder he said, I have taught you the whole counsels of God. Who talks like that? How do you know the whole counsel of God? Because he went where nobody went to. And this was what Paul said. He said, concerning God, he said, who only? Because when he entered that civilization, there was no other person. None existed. Who only had immortality? This was the first man that attempted to tell us some of the things that happened in that realm. Because Moses didn't say, John didn't say. When John wanted to write, they forbade him. Paul was the first person that gave us a glimpse that in the ancient civilization of spirits, one of the things that defined them is immortality. Yeah. That means in that realm, death does not exist. He has no power. Because the energy that rules in that realm is too strong for death to be allowed participation. And he said, here, there is immortality. This is not just talking about cessation. This is talking about a state of a lack of corruption. That means Paul also went further to tell us that this realm is the realm of the originals. Nothing is corrupt here. Everything you see here, that is how it will always be forever and ever. And he made another statement. He said, in this civilization, the ambience is light. He said, God dwells in light that is unapproachable. Now, what Paul was trying to teach us here is that there is somewhere beyond heaven. Because if you read the Bible, you may just assume God is in heaven. If God is in heaven, then the universe is bigger than the Creator. You were the one that gave the topic. If all of God is in heaven, that means the heaven contains God. But God is bigger than heaven, because even heaven is in God. So what Paul was telling us here is a community that is beyond creation. This is a community that was not created. This is a community that you exist in yourself, because God is light and God dwells in light. That means the house of God is God himself. Because what the way God exists is that God comes out and covers himself. So God lives inside God before the beginning was created. But you see, when God wanted to allow some level of creativity, he wanted to allow himself. You know, when you want to have fun, you go and watch football. You play cricket. You go to Dubai. When a God wants to have fun, what he does is that he displays power. Power, power. So as he dwelt in himself for aeons, because even here, there's no time. Because the energy here forbids time. That's why you can't capture time in eternity. The intensity is too much. So where God dwells here, there's no time. And so what God decided to do was that he wanted to have pleasure. You know, when John was carried to heaven, he said, all things were created for thy pleasure. So when God began to create and the universe were appearing, he was having fun. The being we worship is a strange being. If you know him, you will tremble. You will fear him. The kind of power that was in display. When the stars were formed. When the moon appeared. When the waters were caught from the aeons of God. And when he told the visible realm to be separated from the invisible realm. All of those powers was called pleasure. What a way to have fun. That's why he's called God. He doesn't need introduction. That's why I say in the beginning, God. If there's anything that is before the beginning, he's the one I'm talking about. Because nothing was when he was. And when everything is over, only him will remain. This is the civilization they are inviting us to come and look upon sacred things. To come and see things that cannot be corrupt. So that the world we come into, we will present those sacred realities to this world and teach this world the ways of Zion. So when we are gone, this civilization will become an offspring of the invincible civilization. And so when men begin to interact on this plane, they will be taught the ways of this spirit. Because the purpose of existence is your ability to reflect his reality. So when God wanted to have fun, he started creating. And when you know how the things he created, because of the majesty of his dwelling place, when he created, he didn't just create road. No, that was not the things he created first. Let me show you the things he created first. Because he's a king, and so he's interested in government. The greatest burden of a king is to extend his laws so that every citizen will live and reflect that law. That's how a king is glorified. We glorify England by dressing on suit. That's what I'm saying. The queen, okay, now the king, doesn't need to call you. When you go out, you feel important by wearing suit. So, you glorify them. That means you are telling them, whatever it is I knew and was, it's not important. You hide your own and present theirs. That's what it means. They call it colonization. That's the ancient word for glorification. The ability to reflect a monarch until his will becomes the definition of your life. And so when God created, the first things that he was interested in is a spiritual strata that could reflect his authority from the highest realm to the lowest realm. So that wherever you are connected to his government. And his government begins to influence your existence. And so when Paul again was speaking in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, Paul said concerning the invincible God. He said when he created all things, he went further and began to give us the strata and the stratification. And he said, Jesus is the image of the invincible God and the firstborn of all things. And he said, this is what God created. Number one, he said he created both invincible and visible things. And then he started listing them from the invincible realm into the visible realm. And number one, he said he created thrones. You will need thrones because this is government. If the authority structure is not transmitted, there can be no colonization. Because it is the authority structure that wins the territory. And when the territory is won, the citizens will align with that authority structure and the earth will become a reflection of the heavens. And so he said, when God stretched his hand from the invisible realm to the visible realm, the first thing he did was that he created thrones. And then he said he created dominions. And then he said he created principalities. And then he said he created powers. He now stopped here because of what he was doing to the Colossian church. Now, when he entered the church in Ephesus, he now continued with the list. You know, the guy talking is a technocrat. He won't give you everything. Thank God we now have the complete Bible. So we'll put one leg in Colossus and put one leg in Ephesus so that we understand the full picture. So when he created thrones, dominions, and principalities and powers, he now went further. He said something happened. Because those who are below thrones are called messengers. That's what you have. You call the angels. They are angelos. That means they are sent ones. He said, but because of the corruption that happened after the thrones, the angels that followed these rebellious spirits. He said, from principalities and powers, you now have rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. If you understand that structure, you will know that that is the authority structure for colonization. Because every spirit wants to colonize the visible realm. If you study Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to verse 14, one of the dominions made a statement. Because the only thrones that we saw in scripture were the 20 and 4 elders. He said, when I went to heaven, I saw 20 and 4 thrones. And he said, upon those thrones were 20 and 4 elders. The job of thrones is to co-rule with God. Thrones are like God created them to operate in his class so that they can co-rule. That's why the 20 and 4 elders always exist with God. When you leave the realm of thrones, you now come to the realm of dominions.
Dominions are princes that have territories. And so when God created man, the Bible said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. So God created man as a dominion. This is why he gave man the earth realm, because a dominion has the right to a territory. Now, if you study Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he spoke about the prince of the power of the air. That's a dominion. That means the jurisdiction of the air is his kingdom, his territory. He reflects the will of a throne into that territory. And that's why he said, everybody that is rebellious and lawless, they are under this dominion. Because the dominion creates a territory, and he represents the thrones in those territories. The way man was supposed to represent God on the earth realm, man is not the only dominion. That's why when another dominion came into the garden, he came to teach him the way of rebellion, so that territory can be seeded out. Because Adam didn't know that when that dominion came to deceive him, it was a battle for territories. He wanted to gain authority, because in the realm of kings, they fight for territories, they fight for lands. Because the land you occupy is what gives you authority. And so when the guy came, he saw a dominion, but the dominion was a novice. He came into the politics of thrones, and he didn't have sufficient insight. So he didn't know the things that matter. He didn't know that the way he guards his territory is by aligning with the government, the laws, and the precepts of God. So if he violates it, he doesn't need to have authority over the territory anymore, because the purpose of territory is so that citizens can be formed that obeys the laws of this God. And so when that dominion deceived him and he lost the earth realm, that same dominion met Jesus later. And he said, bow to me. I'll give you the glory of the world. He said, for it has been delivered unto me. It was a game of territory, but Jesus is wise. The last Adam is ancient. The first Adam is a novice, but the last Adam is what? Ancient. It's an ancient creature. Are we following? I'm trying to paint a picture. Don't worry. And so dominions rule territory. If you study Nahum chapter 2 verse 6. He said open. He said the gate of the sea shall be open. And the palaces shall be subdued. So there are palaces at the belly of the sea. Yes, because it's a territory of a dominion. So dominions possess territories and keep watch over it for the throne. You see how the kingdom works? It's a game of civilization. If it is not civilization, then there's no essence. Because the king that created it was seeking pleasure. And the way he gains pleasure is to be worshipped. And so the thrones are there as the first sample, the prototype of what the kingdom will look like. That's why the thrones don't go anywhere. They corrupt by worshipping him. And then by extension, you have dominions who possess and keep the territory to ensure that the laws of the king streams into the territories. So Adam was created a dominion. And there were other dominions. There's a dominion that ruled the air. There's a dominion that ruled the constellations. If you study Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 5, he said, look not upon me because I'm black. He said, the sun has looked upon me. Because when the earth was colonized and taken over, some of these princes collected different components. And one of the things principalities do is that, you know, they have eyes. So when they look upon a dimension, they pour their reality into those dimensions. And so when the rays come upon you, they darken you. You will think the sun gives you light. That was before the earth fell. After the earth fell, the sun no longer gave light. It darkens. And so when God created a new pattern in the tabernacle, they didn't use the sunlight. They use the menorah, and at some point the Shekinah itself will have to come, because the sun now, other principalities can look through it. Adam was supposed to guard the sun in order to regulate seasons and times, but another prince has hijacked the constellation. And so when he looked through the sun, he can darken the hearts of men. That's what you call the wisdom of this world. As you walk the street, you will find somebody. In fact, when you find astrologers who are ranking, what they do is that they can speak into the moon, and when the moon rises, the moon will bring a curse over a city. It's a game of power and authority. And so when you move from the dominions, you now come to the principalities. The principalities are the ones they send first. That's why the word principality means those who come first. So when a dominion wants to take over a new territory, he sends a principality. The same way the spirit will say, come. A dominion will send the principality to also say, come. And so as we are speaking now, there are those who are coming to darkness. But the Lord is calling some into light. And the reason he's calling men into light is because there is a civilization that is about to be built. If it is just to come here and receive a gift, it would have been a waste. This Nigeria, a new Nigeria, will have to emerge. But you will need those who can build. And so they are calling men again to give them tools. And as I round up, I will show you how civilizations are built. Because when we come and we are commissioned, we will go out in three orders. The first will be prophets. Because Moses went to Egypt first. And then the second will be priests. Because the priests are the ones that create the commonwealth, the guard, the mercy seat. And then the third are kings. That's how you shape a civilization. But before you become a prophet, a priest, and a king, you must be summoned. Because if you are not summoned into this company to be equipped, and a principality summons you, you will also be empowered. You know, for those of you that watch kingdom movies, there are those they call warlocks. A warlock is one who participates with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Because when principalities come into a city, they take a sample. Because they group people into tribes. But tribe in the spirit is not thief, Idoma, Igede, Yoruba. No, that's mundane. That civilization is too deep. That one you are talking is from Babel. That type of tribe is for division. The kind of tribe you are talking about here is a conglomeration to form cities. And so when principalities come, they will check your spiritual texture. If you are prophetic, it means you can pick signals in the spirit. You are in a tribe. And when you check, those of you who speak that language, one of your greatest weakness will be lust and immorality. And so what the principality will do is that he will show you pictures. All of that is to summon. Because the summon is an inaudible sound, but you will hear it, you that is called. And as I go back to Revelation, you are going to see the people they call. It's not everybody that comes. Because there are three kinds of people that come. If you study Revelation 22 verse 17, the first people that come are those who hear. The second people that come are those who test. The third people that come are those who are willing. It's not everybody that comes into the summon. And so when a principality is summoning you, he will check the specificity of your spiritual DNA. And when he finds it, he will use a tool to draw you. So when you draw and you come, they now equip you and send you as a warlock so that you can shape a city. That's why you have one man. He opens a brothel. And in that one brothel, 1,000 virgins are disflowered. He has done his job. And when those virgins are disflowered, he sends them into the city. And they enter the city to break homes and to send diseases into the city. And you will not know. You think it's by wearing a tie and preaching a sound sermon. No. They are functionaries being recruited, sent to create corruption in the city. And so because it is the way of God that is being mimicked in darkness, God is still in the business of calling men. And so when God begins to summon, the first thing that happens is that they are looking for a particular kind of people. And the first set of people he's looking for are those who hear. Because when he created you with those faculties. That's why he said when the trumpet makes an unusual sound, he said, who will prepare for battle? And the way you hear that summon is not by matter, come. The language you hear is called a burden. A burden. A burden. A burden is louder than a shout. And so when the spirit and the bride begins to call, in the days of summon, you will discover that certain kinds of men will become restless. Even they will not know why. They will wake up and say, no. Why is there corruption in this city? The question you are asking is a summon. Some will rise up and say, no. Why is there corruption in the church? It's a summon. Because the ancients have gathered beyond the stars. They are looking for messengers that they will send to colonize again. And so Moses was in Egypt. For many years, he wasn't bothered. The queens, the princesses, And the maidens were bathing him and pampering him. And he loved the ways of Egypt. Because, I mean, who wouldn't love such pleasure? In the civilization where everybody is struggling, you just come to the river, you stand, they shower you, wash you, clean you up. And when they are done, you walk up, you sit at the king's table, and you eat a good meal. And you stroll around the city. One of such days, he was strolling around, and a burden hit him. He didn't know what happened. He was just going around to survey how Israel were manipulated, marginalized, as usual. And then, while he was yet walking, a burden fell upon him. He heard a sound. And from that day, he lost his peace. But you know, he didn't know that that burden is not for activity. Because most times, when we don't understand summons, when a burden comes, we enter activity. When Moses saw Pharaoh, fear gripped his heart. He now discovered that a burden is not a call to activity. It's a call to the monarch. Because in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, he said he called them to be with him. You will come first. If you don't come to be with and you send yourself, your head will be cut off. Because a burden is a summon. And so when convergences like this begin to happen, the first sign that you are part of the feast is that a burden will bring you there. When you look at it and you see it, you will know that this thing happening, there is a summon in the spirit. There are many people that their burden now is to see how they can deal with issues of poverty. There are many people that their burden is to see how they can deal with issues of unrighteousness. Those are sounds of trumpets in the spirit. A spirit is beckoning upon you. And when you hear that, it's not time to take action. It is time to seek him. Because the people they call are those who hear. And the way you hear is by the language of a burden. I don't know if you've had a burden before. Some years ago, a burden came upon me. So strong. I was a very young man. Just finished my undergraduate. I wanted to enroll for master's then. And I just was at home. And this burden came. Every month, I go on 21 days fast. And pray. 21 days fast. And my anger was, why is it that most young ladies in Benue are just casually giving to prostitution? So cheap that most times it is even noised abroad that the girls in Benue are cheap. That with 2,000 naira you can just get somebody. I say, what kind? How then will young prophets get married? Because when these ladies are done, they run into choir. Even when they have not repented. What kind of thing is this? How will God's heritage be preserved? And I had this burden because that's how I taught them. And I started praying. In the sixth month, I was still on the 21 days fast. And suddenly as I laid down, my wall opened. And a being walked into the room. A naked creature. Female creature, but the head was a man. Carrying an apron on the neck like a prostitute. And when I saw the creature, out of anger, I wanted to stand up. I discovered I was paralyzed. And he walked around me. Because, you know, you cast out demons, not principalities. Principalities can meet Jesus after 40 days fasting and say, if you are the Son of God, the same Jesus that the principality was talking to entered the synagogue and demons screamed and started going out. It's demons you cast out. A principality has body. So you don't cast him. It's a demon that does not have body illegally occupying somebody else that you can say, get out. When you meet a principality, put on the whole armor of God because you are about to fight. Are we together? And so this creature walked into the room. I tried to get up. I was paralyzed and he sat on me. Immediately my spirit began to scan. And I remember, they that call the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And I said, Jesus, save me. And light came and dematerialized that spirit. That was when I knew the foundation of fornication and prostitution in Benue. It was a principality summoning people. It wasn't just what young girls do. It was a civilization. An atmosphere was opened over the city. And so I knew that warriors needed to rise as gatekeepers to shut the door. Because that's the technology in the spirit. So the burden that was put upon me was so that me too, I will rise as a voice. And in the day of my stature, I will be able to speak from the heavens and say, let this gate be shut. But I didn't know. I started praying and attacking things. It was not time to attack. It was time to journey back to Horeb, the mountain of God. Because when Moses had that body, He thought he would kill all the Egyptians. No, that was not the time to kill. That was the time to find the mountains of God. And the Bible said, Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 1, he said he was keeping the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The whole technology of budding is to bring you to the mountain of God. If you have not arrived at the mountain of God, it means you didn't hear correctly. Because it is on that mountain that the second protocol will be activated. So the first set of people that respond to the call of the bride are those who are called burden bearers. They hear something. That thing they hear becomes a weight in their heart. God shares his anger. He shares his desire with them. And they carry it upon their shoulders like weight. And they nurture it until that weight brings them to the presence. The second set of people that hear this sound are those who thirst. These ones don't necessarily have a burden, but they desire to see again the glory and the power. David said in Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2, he said, early will I seek thee. Early in the morning when others are sleeping, he said, me, I want to seek you. Why? To see thy glory and thy powers. Because they heard the story of the ancients that once upon a time, by the hand of God, he broke the staff of bread. By the hand of God, he broke the powers of Egypt. By the blast of his nostril, he parted the Red Sea. And they heard wondrous things. And so like Gideon, they are asking, where is the God of our fathers? They want to see those glories again. There are those who are in church, they are already satisfied. Because they are LED screens. They are haze machines creating smokes. They are satisfied already because everywhere is excellent and they are singing good songs. But there are those who say, thank God for excellence. But I want to see the days of Joshua. Where a man could stand and say, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And the Bible will say, the sun did not make haste to go down. Where are such days? Where men did not just wield powers over cities, but they could command the constellation so that the purposes of God can be fulfilled. There are such who carry such hunger. There are men like Samuel, hungry and desperate to see God walk again like Samuel. Because Samuel woke up and stood and said, this is dry season. He said, but I will call upon the name of the Lord and it will thunder from heaven now. So a man is so powerful that he's not praying for cancer. He can shift atmospheres. The kind of atmosphere we are talking about is not the one music creates in a meeting. We are talking atmospheres. When the real atmosphere shift, even the earth will resonate. That a man can stand and say, let the rain come as a sign that I'm sent of God. There are certain men who are hungry to see like the days of Moses, where somebody can enter a city with a staff and we go straight to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Today, nations are ruled by beasts. Beasts of reckless wickedness. And we confine ourselves behind church auditoriums. There are those who are hungry to have powers enough to confront the powers that be and tell them there is one monarch in Zion. Not men who have large congregations necessarily, but men who can confront the kings of the earth and say, today you are dethroned. And if the king stretches his hand, the hand will paralyze. They've heard things that looks as if the Bible is a lie. And so their hunger is to see the acts of the apostles continue. Because it didn't stop with Paul. Paul said, according as it is written, they have spoken. He said, we having the same spirit of faith. He said, we believe and therefore we speak. I don't want to read the acts of the apostles. This is the language of such men. I want to play the acts of the apostles. Because it didn't stop with Paul. Hope you know that there was a time when a demonic theology rose up and they said that miracles stopped with the apostles. Speaking in tongues stopped with apostles. It is the testers that rose up and said, no, miracles didn't stop with the apostles. And to prove it, I won't do an exegesis. Bring the blind. To prove it, I won't do an exegesis. Bring a cancer patient. Did you not read that in the days of Catherine Kuhlman, doctors were there and people came from the media to discredit her. But they verified miracles medically. They are those who have such hunger. And they say, I don't just want to come to church. If God walked through Moses, if God walked through Paul, then God will prove himself through me. If that kind of thing begins to happen, then know that there is a test that cannot be quenched by water. This kind of test, it is the glory that shuts it down. And that's why the psalmist said, I test after thee to see thy glory and thy powers. as it was shown in the tabernacles. Those are the kind of men that are summoned to the feast of gods. When the thunders and the thunderings are sounding in the spirit, they don't run away from it. Like Moses, they run into it. Because when God was echoing, Moses said, come up, now your God has appeared. But their iniquity won't let them. Those ones love the world. The men who test, their garment is the garment of purity. Because they prepare themselves like a chaste bride. They want to walk into the call of God and to draw of that river that never runs dry. And so they can walk into it. He said Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. The hunger in the heart of Moses could make him chase God. Even when God hid himself, Moses won't stop. When you hear Zephaniah, that's the God that hides himself. But there are certain men who are so hungry that even when God hides behind the thick smoke, behind the deep darkness, they will remain there until the glorious light shines. Those kinds of men are the people they are summoning, because the things God wants them to do is not what you can buy with money. The men who don't seek this deep, if they come out, $1,000 can change them. £1,000,000 can change them. But these ones, they are willing to let go of everything. And they are saying, where is the waters of life? I want to taste of that water. And they will pursue. And God sees them coming. Instead of pulling them, God will go back. And they will not stop. He said for 40 days, Moses ascended Sinai. He mounted Sinai. And when Moses succeeded, 40 days he climbed the mountain. And God still didn't show up. And he was there for 6 days, waiting for the Shekinah. Waiting for the Shekinah. That was where Paul entered. He said, I know a man many years ago. Whether he was in the flesh or in the spirit, I cannot tell. He was seeking something that is beyond the star. That was when Gabriel entered. That was where Ezekiel entered. He said, in the 30th month, on the 4th day, I was among the captives by the river Kabah, and I saw visions of God. People were in captivity. Somebody was thirsty. Ah, where's the God of Israel? Maele Hakora Kakatana. Where is the God that showed himself strong with our fathers? And suddenly he saw the wind began to move, and he knew this is not weather, this is the monarch appearing. Suddenly he saw the movements began. He could read it like Elijah. He said, I saw a cloud like a man's face. He said, no, that's not a cloud, that is a sound of an abundance. I saw it, and now it has come. I left everything, now it has come. I sacrificed everything, now it has come. And suddenly he said, I saw one that had the likeness of the Son of Man. And he said, from his waist down, I saw him upon a throne, and he was carried by four cherubims. And he said, when they moved, it was like the lightning. He began to see what his soul was craving for. I'm tired of the normal church service. I'm tired of the Bible teachers. I want to find the man that knows the finger of God. Because when Moses showed up, even the rich men, the witches of Egypt, they said, no, this is the finger of God. There are men who are seeking the finger. Where's the finger? Because when he spoke to Moses, he said fire went out of his finger and wrote the laws. The laws. That's why we're over time, after many years, Moses himself became the law. When Moses is read. Because what you pursue, you become. What you pursue, you become. The reason you have normal men is because they didn't pursue mortal things. Normal men pursue normal things. But when you find men that reveal the likeness of God, then that is what they pursue. Because he said, when we shall see him, we shall become like him. They are seekers of God. They are seekers. Our generation seek iPhones. Our generation seek holidays on Bahama Islands. Because we were not told the stories of the yonder places of Zion. We were not told the stories of the paths that the fathers walked. I heard stories of men like Babalola who walked through time, walked through the air. Well, I'm not, oh dear Lord, God forbid that I am only an apostle by title. I must become a custodian of immortal heritages. This is those who test. These are the ones that can hear the sound of the bride and the spirit say, come. If you are all over the internet, you can't hear this sound. If your priority is a holiday, you can't hear this sound. If your priority is a Gucci watch, you can't hear this sound. These are those who are seeking immortal things. And so sometimes they forbid themselves from seeing the sun. And they are just indoors 7 days, 8 days, 20 days,
party doing? And you say, what is happening? They are seeking something that is beyond time. I tell you, a million people may gather, but the bride knows those is coming. He's not looking for number. He's not looking for a crowd. He's looking for those who hear, and he's looking for those who test, and finally, he's looking for those who are willing. Those who will tell him, Father, if you will slay me, slay me. If that is what you want to do, I'm ready. Those who are willing are those who are able to let go of the world. I tell you, our addiction to the world will make it impossible for us to receive what God is saying. He said that the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. Our discernment is carnal because our pursuits are carnal. The people that are summoned are those who have let go of the world. If the world means too much, then God will mean too small. Because a new city is about to be born. Paul said, I was in Arabia. He left everybody and went to the wilderness of Arabia. John said, I was in the wilderness until the time of my showing forth. You cannot cleave to the world, hear the summons of God. You want to participate in the league of the immortals. You want to participate in the game of thrones. You must let go of something. That's why I said, looking away unto God. You cannot look unto God and look into the world. And so the summon is not another conference. The summon is not the gathering of believers. The summon is the gathering of those who test. It's a gathering of those who hear. And it's a gathering of those who are willing. And the sign that you are willing is that you can let go of everything. We hold on to too many things. And the reason is because we have not seen the original. Paul saw something that could not be bought with money. That's why he was able to let go. He said Moses saw him that was invincible.
Hi. Oh dear Lord.
When you respond to the summon, then you come to the second layer. The second layer is the layer of participation. He said, when Moses walked, he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And he said, I will turn to see this great sight. Please sit down. And he said, immediately he turned, he heard the voice, take off thy sandals. Where you are standing is holy ground. Because there is a place where you are taught beyond what you learned in the Bible school. The Bible school produces pastors, teachers to fill in the pews, to fill in the pulpit. This kind of training is not for pulpit. David said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. It is in participation that you are taught. And so when you come out, all of us will come with our shape in the spirit. You can find 10 apostles. It's no longer copy and paste. It's no longer duplication. Every trumpet will have a distinct sound. It is in the school of participation that you are broken. That's why when you find a man who has seen God, the sign is not intelligence. The sign is not a gift. God is not sending out gifted men. Listen, the ministry of the last day is the ministry of the fullness. Those who can carry the fullness of God. Gift stopped with the American church. That's the church of Pentecost. The church of the last day is the church of the Holy of Holies. It's the church that can stand before the Shekinah. And when they step out, they will come with the fullness of God. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, to some he gave to be apostles. To some he gave to be prophets. To some he gave to be evangelists. To some he gave to be pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. It says until we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. The church of the last day is the church of the fullness. It's the church where you find people, and they are not just gifted people. They are reflectors of different dimensions of Christ. And so when you meet the man, beyond the word of knowledge, you will touch Jesus. You will touch him. If you meet the singer, you will touch Jesus. We touch gifts, we don't touch Christ. And the reason is because we have not participated. Listen, when you come into participation, it will humble you. Did you not read about Isaiah? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his train feed the temple. The guy came as a national prophet. The first creatures he saw were called seraphims. And he saw a wonder that he had never seen. This was a national prophet, but he had come to participation. And the moment he saw the glory, nobody told him. He started cursing himself. He said, I'm a man. Woe unto me. That's a prophet. He had gone through the Bible school. He had all the gift. But now he has been summoned to participation. And he knew for the first time that titles, there's a realm where titles don't work. There's a realm where gifts don't work. There's a realm where your popularity counts for nothing. Because the creatures of that realm, they are dressed with different garments. On earth, you can be clothed with influence. You can be clothed with fame. On earth, you can be clothed with intelligence. When you appear in the realm of participation, they check your purity. They check the substance you are made of. Who are you? And immediately, he began to judge his essence. He said, woe unto me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And before he spoke, he said, one of the seraphims took one of the coals from the midst of the coals of fire and touched his tongue. And they told him, now your iniquity has been rolled away. Come into participation. Participation. When you come there, you will come out broken. Because you will see that all the credentials you had from earth, they don't count it there. And so when God summons men, it's to call them so that they can be washed again. So that they can be purified. And so that they can be broken. It is your brokenness that God feels. Your hunger brings you there. But it's your brokenness that he feels. Some people think God feels your hunger. He doesn't feel your hunger. God feels your brokenness. Your hunger brings you to God. It is in your brokenness. That's why I said the sacrifices of God. They are a contrite heart. And they are a broken spirit. There are many people who are hungry but proud. They can stay on the altar for 1 year. They will not carry God. Trust me. It is only a broken man that God can occupy. Because the sacrifices. Listen. That ancient spirit. The only sacrifice that appeals to him are the fragrances of brokenness. When he finds brokenness in a man, he rushes after that man. And so when God calls you to participation, he's trying to bring you into brokenness. That point where you count for nothing. Did you not read when he spoke about Christ? He said in Philippians 2 verse 3, let nothing be done in vainglory. He said, in meekness and brokenness, let everyone esteem the other more than himself. And he said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. That mindset is a broken mindset. He said, who being in the form of God, counted it not robbery to be equal with God. He stripped himself of divinity. And he said, he ran the errand of the Father. And he accepted to become a man. He took the shape of a man. He took the fashion of a man. And he said, he even accepted the humiliation of death. And not just death, but death of a criminal. That is the state where God feels a man. And so when God is summoning us, he's not summoning us to manifestation primarily. He's actually summoning us to participation. And participation is brokenness. Did you not read about the 24 elders? Day and night, they fell from their thrones. They cast their crown and they say, holy. They say, holy. We are a generation of titles. We are a generation of angry men. There's no record on ground. There's nothing to show. Just because you went for 2-3 meetings. Just because you traveled and crossed the border of Nigeria. You feel you are something important. Just because they know you on social media. You can challenge powers that be. Those who are handling the torch that preserve the heritage of God in the generation past. You cannot challenge them on internet because you have a page. And we think we have known him. God is not sending such men. Trust me. They may be intelligent. Their exegesis may be accurate. Wait until the day of manifestation. When God build up Zion, he said he will appear in his glory. And only broken men can host him. After brokenness, then you have equipping. What are you holding? He says, it's a staff. Drop it on the ground. Now you are approaching the time to be sent. Drop it on the ground. And the man dropped the staff that he held for 40 years. But he has come to another dimension. The staff stopped being a stick. The staff became a serpent. Because that realm is the realm of creation. Anything can be anything. That's where equipping takes place. Drop the staff. And he dropped the staff. The moment that staff turned to a serpent, he said, take it up by the tail. And he carried it. The staff stopped being the staff of Moses. It became the staff of God. Because you will need the staff of God to build. The authority of a prophet is a staff. That's his scepter. Oh my God. I know you will teach about it, so no need.
Hear this. There are different schools. There are schools on earth, and there are also schools in the spirit. Moses was taught by the best minds of his generation. But when he came to Horeb, they taught him again. The school on earth makes you intelligent. The school in the spirit makes you powerful. There are two kinds of schools. And so when Moses entered into participation, the second thing that happened was that they started teaching him the way of power. That's why I told you, kingdom is a game of power. When God wants to play, he displays power. He said, all things were created for thy pleasure. Stars appear. Power was being displayed and God was having fun. Paul was trained by the best mind. He excelled in knowledge. There was none like Paul in his generation. Even Paul said it, that he was better than all his colleagues. But after he came into participation, he now discovered that that thing they taught him is not enough to build. For you to build, there are patterns that will be revealed to you on the mount. There are patterns. Those ones a Bible school can't give you. As beautiful as a Bible school is, it prepares all of us and teaches us the direction to go. Every man that will be part of the army of God and will be part of the building of the new civilization will travel deep. And so again and again, the spirit and the bride will say, come. Because the bride are spirit of just men made perfect. Those who have run before, they align with the spirit and they summon us. That's why when Jesus was to enter his purpose, he said Moses and Elijah came to him on the mountain. And they told him the things that will happen in Jerusalem. And so that cycle will continue until the end of time. When we join the host of heaven, we will become part of the bride. You know, the church on earth is the bride. But this bride on earth has spots and wrinkles. The bride that calls is the bride that is clothed with the garments of righteousness. It aligns with the Holy Spirit and it summons a generation. It summons. And when we are summoned, we are equipped. And for those of you that have gone far in the spirit, you know, some of the things you do, you saw it in the spirit. Because sometimes you come into the spirit and Paul will teach you the Bible. Paul, he will teach you the Bible. Sometimes you come into the spirit and the writer, the person the Holy Ghost walked through to write, will now educate you from that scripture. When you are talking that scripture, it's no longer a Bible study, it's a gate. Because it's an equipping. And if that kind of equipping doesn't happen, a civilization cannot be uprooted and another planted. And so as we come to this mountain, most of us will be equipped afresh. Because God wants to send out an army to rebuild. Because Zion must appear. Paul said, the gospel I preach. He said, I received it of no man. He said, I went to Arabia. And it was in Arabia that he was summoned. And he was taught the oracles of God. When he came back, he said, I taught you the whole counsel of God. He saw something from another dispensation. And then when we are equipped, then God begins to send us as high commissioners
we come back to the earth and we shape it again. And when we come back, there are three quadrants. There is the prophetic quadrant. Not because they are primarily prophets, but because their operation is to see and act. That's the order of the Christ. He said, the works that I do are the things I see my Father do. That's when society can no longer influence you. That's when you will no longer try to be politically correct. You can state the counsel of God. And it doesn't matter who likes it or not, because now you are a builder. And what we build must be Zion, not Babel. If you have not been able, if you have not been equipped with the prophetic dimension, you will still build error. You will build corruption. And you will build what men will clap for. But you are not called to build what men will like. You were called to build the patterns of the spirit. Because if Moses was building what men love, he would have built pyramids. Because he was trained in Egypt. But what Moses built was a tabernacle with three chambers. And those three chambers carried three kinds of glory. If our generation cannot see and duplicate, then we are not yet sent. Today, somebody stands up and say, God sends him. And everything he's doing is a photocopy. He just zealously ran out to start something. He doesn't know what he's saying. Everything you see everywhere are photocopies. Because only few people have access to the original document. Zeal and ambition. You have not come up to see. You commission yourself. Photocopies. And so the first quadrant that God will launch out are the prophets. And then when God launches them out, then he will send the kings. He will send the priest. The priest comes after the prophet. Moses came out, delivered them from Egypt, took them to Sinai, and then the priesthood began. Because while the prophet sees and plans, the priest takes into the presence. The prophet brings the counsel of God to a people. The priest takes the people to God. Because the idea is to bridge heaven and earth. So that earth becomes an extension of heaven. When a generation rises that is accurate, if you walk into the church, you will not walk into a congregation. You walk into an atmosphere. And everybody, including the ushers, will be legislators in Zion. That's why we are called the ecclesia. We are not a group of people that have members. We are a council with citizens. Citizens that are legislators representing different dimensions. But for that to happen, the connection between the priest and the prophet must be complete. And when that circuit is built, then the kingship can rise. It is the kingship that enters the city. And when we now enter the city, you can send one to civil service. He will not come to civil service looking for salary. He is coming to civil service as a colonizer. You send another to politics. He's not going there because he wants to be called a governor. He's coming there because he's a colonizer. You will send another one to a nation. He's not coming there. That's the church of the first. The Bible says Philip went to Samaria. He was not escaping persecution. He was not looking for what to eat. He said he preached Christ there. He said the city was full of joy. They were city takers. They entered Antioch. The moment they entered Antioch, they took it over until a point came. Everywhere they went, they said, this be the man. This be the man that turned their world upside down. The reason is because they cannot but do what they have seen and heard. Even when they flog them, say, shut up. He said, judge among yourself. Whether we should please man or please God. He said, we cannot but do. The reason our generation can't do is because we have not seen and heard. And so for this to happen, the Spirit of God again is calling. He said, the Spirit and the bride says, come. He says, come. He said, come. He is calling again. And so why am I here bringing you this emphasis? Because it begins with those he's calling. And so if you find yourself with a burden at this time, it will be foolishness to truncate it. This is not a time for seasonal movies. This is a time to tend burdens. There are certain burdens that will come upon you. You will not be permitted to eat at certain times. Did you read when Manoah's wife took him? She could not take any strong drink for a period of time because a child is about to be born. That's how we manage bodies. Because if you are not careful, you will abort it. And there are many aborters of burdens because they can't cut off that friend. Because they can't stay off that television. Because they can't stay off the internet. And they purge and abort burdens. And when you abort burdens, what God will do is that He will put it on another. And you will discover that your Christianity will become religion. It's when you return to Zion, they will tell you that throne that person is sitting was yours. But that throne was built to take over Abuja. And you were attracted to that throne by a burden. But you aborted it on a seasonal movie. You aborted it when you were involved in a malice. You aborted it when you gave yourself into that ungodly relationship. And you will now discover how your life on earth was a waste. But it will not be your portion. Because tonight the Lord comes to show you the pattern. The Lord comes to show you the blueprint. The Lord comes to show you the protocol. And like the prophetic words have gone up already, many among us are being summoned and graces will rest upon us. You know, certain times are scary times. Because not all times are the same in the spirit. There are certain seasons that determine the next 40 years. And so it is those kinds of Kairos season that God summons men. But there are many who are not taught. There are many who are aborters. They abort burdens. And after they abort the burden, they start doing religion for 40 years. See, it's not everything mercy handles. Because when a season closes, there's nothing mercy can do about it. The only thing mercy will do is that you will become part of those who will follow the sheep. But those who will be commanders of that generation, the window has closed. That's why when Noah's ark closed, there was nothing like mercy anymore. The key has gone to heaven. We were not taught correctly. They taught us the mercy of God. But what we don't know is that there is something called the judgment of God. That is according to the just case of righteousness, of justice and of equity. The mercy that God gives us now is that God summons us again. And some of us are carriers of burdens. Some of us are carriers of hunger. And some of us, God has broken our will so that we will align. If you want to be part of the army of God and be part of those who will shape the next civilization, then this is your time. Hope you know, sir, the reason we are the way we are now is because of what happened when the move of God began in America. And before the move of God began in America, there was a move of God in England. The holiness movement that was all about sanctification, purity, that was all about purging. All they preached was righteousness. They were the cross, men that carried the cross. Until a point came, it turned to giftings. Now we are about to shift from the era of giftings. That's why God is raising people that understand the counsel, the full counsel of God to shape a generation. Because if you align, what men will see will not be word of knowledge. What men will see will be the Christ. If you align, what men will see will not be gift of healing. They will see the Christ. Because now God wants to send some to government. And when you come to government, you will come as a dimension of Christ. Some of you will be the dimension of righteousness and holiness. And so when you walk into the city, you will judge iniquity. And you will win that arm back to Christ. Some of us will go into the media. We will not come there looking for money. We will come there as dimensions of the Christ. This is why God summons again. I don't know your shape in the spirit, but God is doing an architectural work again. And so there is a sound in the spirit. There's a sound. There's a sound. Ah, oh, my time is up. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? I want to release something before I go. Ha ha ha. go further in this conference, some will teach us the weapons. The weapons that sons will wield. Because those weapons, they can be corrupt. He said, hot not the oil and the wine. That's the weapon of the priest. I know you teach on those things. He will talk to you about the crown, the consummation of the regalia of the priest before he can wield the scepter, the crown. Those ones, they don't corrupt it. When you finish your work on earth, he said, upon the ear of David, he said, it's an armory where are shields and bucklers of many warriors. When they finish fighting, they take it and preserve it for another generation. But you see, some of you will begin to interact with the weapon that God wants you to wield. Because you will take your shape. If you are carried away now, then you are making a serious mistake. I want to speak a word now. Because there are at least 7 of you here, you will begin to touch your shape, the shape of your weapon in the spirit. You will begin to touch it. Because there's an alignment order about to be established. An end has come, and a beginning is about to begin. An end has come, and the new is about to begin. The end has come, and the new is about to begin. And so I speak by the Spirit. Everyone here, summon of God, begin to make contact with your weapons in the Spirit. With your weapon. I know my weapons are. I know. I've traveled to nations, to different territories with that weapon. It does not lie. That weapon doesn't lie. Even if you are in a strange land, that weapon cannot lie. I stood in Pakistan. Nobody understood English. Even the interpreter was struggling, but I knew I came with a sword. Everyone that has a sword in the spirit, and everyone that should be given a sword, wherever you are now, at least 7 of you, the sword that you wield in the spirit, I speak by the Holy Ghost. Receive grace. Touch them now. Touch those swords. Ushers, help them. I want to lay hands on them now. Ora Kataros, Barila, Hadia, Sanadas, Shadana. Father, as you walk out of this place, you will step into encounters. My God, the prophet has said angelic encounters, because angels come to equip you. They come to empower you. They come to reshape you in the spirit, so you can wield the scepters allocated to you. Thank you, Father. I'm rounding up, please. There are 7 of you. Very quickly, please be sensitive. I beg you. Be very sensitive. These are moments of the spirit. Some of you will start speaking in tongues rapidly. One of you will begin to make declarations. And some of you, the weight of glory will fall upon you. And you will go. It's not for everybody. There are equippings in the spirit. And the number 7 is a sign. It's an end of an era. So that the new beginning can start. And so wherever you are, now by the spirit. Please lower the sound. Please lower the sound. I want to be able to manage. In the name of Jesus. Please, let's be still. Let's be still. Let's be still. Please, let's be still. Let's be still and be sensitive. In the name of Jesus. Let's be still. I don't want us to be distracted so we can manage the time. Please, ushers. He said some of them will speak in tongues rapidly. One will begin to make declarations. Others, the weight of God will come upon them. In a very rapid succession. There are 7 of them. I touch them quickly and we are out of here. 1, 2, 3. Wherever they are, take that grace now. Please help them. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Quickly. It's just a sign. An end has come. And a new beginning is about to open up. This conference is the end of an era and the beginning of another. And so most of you will walk out of here having strange encounters. It's because a new season is being born. This is how men are born in the spirit. Touch! Ushers, you will help me quickly. You will help me quickly. Some of you, there will be so much burdens in your spirit. A heavy weight on your spirit man.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.